All right, welcome in, everybody. Welcome to episode 7 of Real Talk by the Platform, where we believe that stories change lives. Our Bible verse for today is 1 Peter 2:9, and it states, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Super excited for this episode. Very unique testimony, but I think very identifiable with a lot of Christian youth. So I'm going to go ahead and bring our guest in. How's your day been?
Pretty good. How about you?
It's been good. I've been a bit of a creature. This is like the third time I've left my room, probably.
Nice.
Yeah. I've had 2 bagels, and that has been my breakfast and lunch, and then 4 Horizon Organic chocolate organic low-fat milk cartons.
Double organic.
Yeah. They sell them at Starbucks. They're cool. I enjoy them a lot. But yeah, it's been generally a pretty good day.
That's good.
Okay, let's get to know you a little bit. These are our most important hard-hitting questions, so just be prepared. Favorite type of chip?
Favorite type of chip? Ooh, man. Lay's barbecue potato chips.
Mm. All right, at the cookout.
Yep.
Is that what you pair them with?
Yep.
Steak? Okay.
No, not steak.
Okay.
Burgers, hot dogs.
Why not steak? That was a very visceral reaction, sir.
Steak is like next level.
Ah, okay.
That you have to have actual sides with that.
Chips aren't an actual side?
No. Steak, you have to have like mashed potatoes, asparagus, something like that.
Listen,
like,
if it's on a paper plate, chips can be on
it. You eat your steak on a paper plate?
Well, if I'm at a cookout, yeah. I don't really go to cookouts, but just presumably, like the 2 times.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like granddad made steak. Let's get our paper plates out. All right. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Then what soda do you pair with barbecue chips?
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. Don't point at it. No one can see you. No, I'm kidding. So, okay. Wait, but we got to really process this right now. So steak, no chips. You got to have potatoes. What else?
Asparagus, some sort of like green.
Whoa, green?
Green vegetable.
I'm not about green.
Salad. Mm-mm. Lots of salad.
What?
Steak and salad.
Just eat the steak.
I mean, it's the best part, but you can't just have steak.
Steak, mashed potatoes, gravy. Our tech guy is losing his mind. Sorry, we have to take a break there because our tech guy was losing his mind at my ridiculous opinion. So we're going to bring him in real quick to correct me.
Steak and paper plate. Are you kidding me? What kind of amalgamation of humanity puts steak on a paper plate? What do you marinate it with? Ketchup and salt and pepper?
Listen, man, I don't know. My job is to keep the conversation going.
Okay.
And criticizing plates was what I chose.
That's true.
Derailed the conversation.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
All right.
Thank you so much for the correction.
Yeah, man.
Get back to mixing.
Don't ever talk about steak on paper plates ever again.
I will refrain.
All right. Have a good episode.
Thank you. All right. So what soda do you pair the chips with?
Dr. Pepper.
Okay. You already said that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sweet tea is good.
Ooh, sweet tea. That's Texan.
Yes.
That's good stuff.
So is Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper's straight out of Texas.
Dr. Pepper is just bad. Boom. Yeah, coming after everybody right now. Everybody. Okay. Tech guy just threatened to come right back in on us. And he refrained.
For now.
Okay. If you can transition easily, let's just get straight into your testimony. Tell me a little bit about how you grew up. Yeah, swift mood change,
yeah,
everyone. Sorry.
Yeah, very quick. Grew up in a Christian home, went to church every Sunday morning, and eventually went to church Wednesday nights whenever our church started offering that. You know, kind of family where we all knew that we were Christian, but, you know, we pray before meals and go to church every Sunday, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, good church folk.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I got my start.
Mm-hmm. So kind of a lack of a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, you know,
kind of a far off vending machine God type of thing.
Right. I I would say that, like, I knew all of the stories that you're supposed to as, like, a good little Sunday school Sunday school kid.
Right, you know, answer was always Jesus.
The right answer is always Jesus. You know, David and Goliath and Jonah and the whale.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, never really have a, I never really had a personal connection or, like, drive to actually read scripture or to get to know God.
Mm-hmm. It was just like a routine, kind of.
Definitely.
Okay.
So then, I guess, just going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I, like I said, I was going to Sundays and Wednesdays and stuff. And eventually I stopped going on Wednesdays. It just, my personality at the time and at the church that I went to, there were lots of people there and that did not mesh with my personality. Very, very introverted, not very outgoing at all. And so I didn't really enjoy that kind of vibe. So I stopped going to that. My friends from school weren't really Christians, or some of them were, some of them weren't. But I think now looking back on it, if you had an outside perspective looking in, you wouldn't have necessarily known that any of us were Christians by the way that we were living, kind of the conversations that we were having, the stuff we were doing. And so, yeah, I just...
How are you, like, feeling? What do you remember being, like, a predominant emotion during this era of your life?
So this was during middle school, which probably a lot of people are going to relate with this. Very lost, trying to figure out, like, who I was, where I was going with my life, what I wanted to be known for.
12-year-olds need to have that all figured out, right?
Right. Yeah. But you feel like you do at the time. Because, you know, in middle school, I was, you know, doing music. And so that was kind of part of my identity. And I was doing, like, academic competition type things. And so I kind of put my identity and those things.
What you wanted to be known for.
Right.
As we talked about. That's probably one of the most important questions.
Right.
At that age.
And so eventually, you know, if you have a bad chair test and you go from the top of the section to the bottom of the section, well, all of a sudden you're not that guy anymore.
And for clarification for our listeners, what is a chair test?
A chair test. Okay. So if you're in, like, an orchestra or a band, you have your section, which is all the people that say play the same instrument as you. And you'll get a section of your music, and you, the way we did it, you have to record it, and the teacher will listen to it and rank you based off of who did the best, and whoever gets, or whoever did the best gets first chair, and they're towards the front by the conductor, and then the lower chairs are moving, like, out towards the back. So everybody wanted to be in the first couple chairs because that's, like, I'm the best, you know.
What
look at me.
Instrument did you play?
Cello.
Okay, cool.
Play the cello.
I played bass, so nope.
Low strings.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, if you have a bad chair test, all of a sudden you're not the cello guy anymore. Or if you get a bad grade on the test, well, suddenly you're not the smart one anymore. And so I was very lost with that. And the friend group that I had at this point was very, I guess, cliquey would be kind of the best way to put it.
Like standoffish kind of?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
There was, like, even within the friend group, there was kind of an in-group and an out-group. And so there was, like, six or seven guys in the group, but within that there was, like, another core group of three or four.
Where do you land?
I landed in the outside group.
Okay.
So I was the one that was never getting invited to go do stuff outside of school. Or, like, if there was a group chat that was going on, I wasn't in the group chat. And so I think that...
And this is all throughout middle school?
Mostly in the later years.
Okay.
At the beginning of middle school, I kind of stuck to the people that I knew from elementary. And then once I started to branch out, that was when I got with this group.
Okay.
And so whenever I got with this group, and that started happening, I didn't really realize that maybe that's not what friends should be like, or that you shouldn't be feeling left out because of your best friends.
Okay, yeah.
And so that created a lot of, I think, insecurities and kind of doubts.
You didn't feel good enough for them.
Right. Like, it was kind of a thing. I felt like I was always trying to, like, earn my way into the middle circle, or, like, earn their approval.
Okay.
And I just kind of accepted that. And now looking back at it, I'm like, oh, that's not how real friendship should be. Yeah. And so, you know, going forward, going into high school, lots of things change. And I was still trying to stay with that friend group. And then the end of my freshman year of high school was when COVID happened. And so we all got to go home and take a nice long spring break.
Yeah, shout out, man. That was horrible.
Yeah. And that's when I realized most of these people that I called my friends, I did not talk to the entire 6 months or however, March to August, whenever we went back to school.
So, and you made that choice?
No.
Okay.
Well, they didn't reach out, and I was like, oh, huh, that's interesting. There was one person in that group that I kept texting throughout this, and we got really close because of that. But all the rest of them, I didn't talk to. I mean, maybe a text here and there checking in, but no like meaningful conversations the entire time that we were locked down.
Okay.
And so,
and did y'all have meaningful conversations beforehand?
Every now and then, not super frequently,
but that was what you,
but it was also, I mean, middle school boys.
Yeah, true.
Don't really have a whole lot of meaningful conversations general.
Were you looking for like deeper?
I think that I was, but I didn't realize it.
Okay.
Like I wanted friends that I could genuinely connect with, but I like, if you would have asked me that then, I wouldn't have known that that's what I was wanting, I think. So then going into 10th grade, I was like, huh, my friends maybe aren't really that great of friends. And so I started trying to like talk to other people in my classes more and figure out kind of who I wanted to associate with. And there was a girl in one of my classes, and she invited me to this home group with our church. And
now, what's a home group?
A home group is, so our my church that I went to, for the middle schoolers, they have like a big thing every Wednesday night where all the middle schoolers that go to the church get together, worship, have a lesson, and then discuss in groups.
And that was what you chose to not?
That's what I stopped going to.
Okay.
And then in high school, instead of having something like that, they break it into grade levels, and they do smaller groups in people's houses, or some of them are at the church. Mine was at the church. And so I got invited to one of those, and I decided to go because at the time I liked this girl. You know,
always a
how,
good motivator.
You know how guys get to
get
to church functions, you know, they get invited by the girl they like, so
always
they show up. And come to find out, this group, this home group, was actually the same group of guys that was in my middle school group that I stopped going to. And so I showed up and I was like, hey, I recognize like a lot of these people. What's going on? And they kind of just took me in immediately. And something interesting that I found out about this group is that a lot of the people in it have been really good friends since they were really young. They've known each other, and their parents have known each other, I guess, for like years at this point. And so I was kind of worried, like, oh, is this going to be another situation like I just got out of with the in-group and the out-group? But what I found out was that it didn't really matter how long you'd been part of the group. They just immediately took you in, made you feel like you'd been there from the start. And that's when I really started to realize like what friendship should be. And I think the biggest reason why that is because at the center of all of our individual relationships with each other and friendships was God.
Mm. So during middle school, were you still just kind of good church folk?
Absolutely.
Just kind of going through the motions?
Absolutely.
And then this exposure?
I would say towards the end of middle school and the beginning of high school, I stopped even necessarily being like good church kid. So I would still have considered myself a Christian, but the way I talked, the way I acted, definitely were not reflective of that. And
so your own self was God, kind of?
Yes.
Okay.
And there was no personal relationship with God, I would say. There was no pursuit of God, right? So it was like I was focused on school, music, whatever I wanted to do. God was like the last thing that I was thinking about following. And so whenever I got to the home group in 10th grade, I suddenly found myself surrounded with people that grew up in similar families as I did, but they had been actively pursuing God. And it wasn't necessarily that they knew a whole lot more. I mean, a lot of them did, but I could just tell that there was like something different about these people. And I was like, I was curious. So I kept going. And
so for more than just the girl,
right?
You kept going.
Right.
Got it.
And, you know, I began to make these people my friends as well. So now it was not just this one person that invited me, but it was the whole group. Like if I missed a week, I would get texts being like, "Hey, where are you? Are you going to be there next week?" Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to feel like, oh, like they actually want me there. That's kind of cool. I'm actually being included in this group. And I don't think that there was like a spoken, like, challenge to be better, but you know how like when you're around people like that, you just want to be better. And so that year I think at Christmas I asked my parents for like a study Bible, and they got me one, and I decided that I was going to read through the entire New Testament. So I read one chapter a night. So nice. It took a while.
Yeah.
But you know, building that habit was difficult to start off with. Just like I did it every night right before I went to bed, and there were a lot of times where I was like, no, I don't really feel like this right now. But I finally just got into the habit of doing that, and being in community with these people and meeting up with them and talking about God and like how we should be living and everything on a consistent basis really made me start to kind of evaluate what was going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, when I'm with these people, I feel this way. And when I'm not with these people, when I'm with my other people, like friends from middle school, I feel this way.
And how were you feeling, just to clarify?
Whenever going into high school and whenever I was around some of those friends from middle school, it was like I could be in a room with them and still feel alone. Lonely would be like the biggest way to describe it. I was having not healthy thoughts. I was really just trying to figure out like who I was. Like I didn't know when everything, like whenever I went from middle school to high school, I didn't know what that was going to look like. And so I really didn't have anything to hold on to. So I was just trying to be, you know, whoever other people wanted me to be or whoever I thought they wanted me to be.
Okay.
And so, lots of confusion, lots of loneliness, you know, jealousy because of other people, like, well, they're doing this and they've got all these friends. Like, what's going on with me? You know, really just stressed about school and everything. Cause that's, I was at the top of my class. And so I put my value in that. Mm-hmm. And so it was like every time there was a test or something going on in class, I had this expectation of myself that I had to do this well, or else, you know, I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but mm-hmm. you know, I had this expectation. And so it was stressful trying to live up to that.
Mm-hmm. It sounds almost like you're in a spiritual like desert.
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
Very like desolate. Yes. Barren. Absolutely. Is what I'm getting.
Yeah. So then whenever I started going to this group and I started, you know, reading my Bible for the first time ever, really, and praying on my own and with these people and talking about, like, you know, what's going on, what my struggles are, that's something that I'd never really done before. I love my parents. They did a pretty great job, I would say, but, you know, they're never the people that I would go to talk mm-hmm. To talk about things. They still aren't. And, so being with these people who talked about stuff that they were going through and helped each other through it, it was totally new to me. And so doing that, it was like suddenly there was this pressure that was just taken off. And I, for a while, before going to this group, I didn't really like who I was and like how I treated others, the way I was acting. And I found after going to this group and being part of biblical community that I actually started being happy with where I was at and like who I was mm-hmm. again.
Describe what biblical community meant.
So I would say it's just a group of people chasing after Jesus.
Mm, that's beautiful.
You know, these people that I was in a group with are to this day some of my closest friends. And it's not because we haven't ever made mistakes and hurt each other, but we have something more than just like mutual affection at the center of our friendship. We have this God that we're both chasing after, and we're trying to spur each other on and do better and keep each other accountable. And some of these people are like, we've had such vulnerability in this group that like I've seen some of these people at their worst, and they've absolutely seen me at my worst, and yet we still love each other. We're so close still, even after moving to college and being hours away from each other. There's still that bond
mm-hmm.
because our friendships were centered around Christ.
Mm-hmm. So how'd you feel when you were around them? You mentioned like pressure coming off, but was there anything else?
I felt like I could finally be myself and not try to impress them or try to live up to who I like, who they wanted me to be. Cause there wasn't that expectation.
Mm.
They just like, you could tell that they were happy with me just bringing myself. And so that was incredibly freeing. Going from a group where I felt like I always had to have my, like put my best foot forward, to just being there mm. and being known and still loved.
Okay.
And
you probably didn't think that was possible.
No. Yeah. I would say that these people taught me what friendship is
mm-hmm.
and I didn't even realize that I didn't know.
Okay. Was there, you mentioned like there's no expectations. Was there any like sense of being held accountable to things?
Yeah. That was one of the biggest parts of that for me. You know, trying to change like my behavior, and not that I was like acting out or anything, but
right.
just the way that I treated other people was mm-hmm. not always the best. And so the way that I talked also, and so being around these people, if I started acting like that again, it would be like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you acting like this? Like, that's not who you're supposed to be. You need to get your act together.
But yet you still felt like there's no pressure.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. It's
probably the line between
accountability without judgment.
Yeah. The line between judgment and accountability.
Right. It's these people. And I think there's also something to be said about the fact that we had all kind of agreed to hold each other accountable.
Mm.
Cause I think people run into problems whenever you're trying to hold somebody accountable that doesn't want to be held accountable.
Yeah, true.
And so these people, we all kind of made that agreement. And so, you know, I could go up to one of them if I saw them doing something that I know that they shouldn't and be like, hey, what are you doing? But on the same note, I know that they would do the same thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of scary because, like, nobody likes to be called out or whatever. But at the same time, it's incredibly beneficial for personal growth, I think.
Okay. What do you think the difference is between getting, probably not called out, that's a bit of a harsh word for it, being held accountable verbally, and then so you're in the orchestra world, right? Being corrected musically, I guess.
I think a lot of it comes from like the heart behind it. Because with accountability and this group of guys, I mean, there were girls also in the group and we were friends, but most of the accountability was between the guys for me. I think the heart behind that for us was we want ourselves to be better and we want to help others get better. Whereas with just correction, it's, I want you to be better for my sake.
Mm.
Like, especially in the musical world, it's, you need to do this better so that we can all be better, rather than I want you to be the best that you can be. And so because of that, you need to fix this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it comes from an unselfish place, yes. Accountability.
Yes.
Okay, cool. And so did you, throughout high school, this was kind of the norm going group. Would you say like you just continuously were growing?
I would say I was always trying to grow, but there were some setbacks. You know, I would revert back to old habits sometimes, but like I said, with the accountability, that's where that kicks in. And they were there to help get me on back on the right path. And there were times where I kind of tried to distance myself a little bit, maybe subconsciously. And they were there. They would just bring me back in. And I'm so thankful for that. Because like without them also being willing to pull me back in whenever I didn't want to be, then I would have ended up somewhere entirely different. 'Cause left to my own choices, things don't go well. That's one of the biggest lessons that I took from middle school into high school. That time is I tried to do things my own way and it did not end up going well.
Okay. And then how, as your relationship with this group of guys grew, how did it affect your walk with God?
Yeah. It made me want to continue pursuing it even when I didn't feel like it. I went to church camp for the first time with this group, and that was a big kind of turning point in my walk with God. And something that we spent a lot of time talking about and kind of working through was making our faith our own, right? So for this group, who most of us have grown up in the church, a lot of us in the same church, and we've never really known anything else, we kind of got to a point where we realized that our faith was kind of our own, but a lot of it was still what we called our parents' faith. So it was kind of where we believed this just because our parents do.
Mm.
And we never really thought about, up to that point, we had never really thought about, why do I believe what I believe? And so from then on, we spent a lot of time trying to figure that out, which is a very personal journey, right? But doing it together, I think, was incredibly beneficial. Because whenever we had questions, whenever we had doubts, we had a circle of people that we could turn to and ask those questions without feeling judged, because a lot of the other guys were also having their own questions.
Mm.
And so that was like a great time for me to get back into the Word and back into a relationship with God, because I felt kind of like I was behind, but in this another way, we were all doing this for the first time together, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That does make sense. And then, yeah, just take us a little bit more through high school.
So I, all throughout middle school and the beginning part of high school, I thought I wanted to be a doctor.
Mm.
Because, you know, I was, like I said, I was at the top of my class. It was kind of just the expectation, I felt like. And then I went to church camp the summer after my sophomore year, that year that I joined the group. And I only did it. I wasn't planning on going. I only did it because there was one kid, and on the kickoff night for like when they announced the camp dates, this kid was so adamant that everybody in the group go to camp. He said, if money is the reason that you're not going to camp, I will personally pay for you to go to camp. And our camp was not super cheap. And I was like, this is a 16-year-old guy. How many people are going to offer that for just anything? And I was like, I guess I'll give it a shot. And that week at camp just totally, totally changed my life. It was that week that I first felt a calling into ministry. And so since then, there have been a lot of doubts and a lot of questions, but I spent a lot of time trying to develop my own faith so that I could figure this out. And eventually, hopefully fulfill that calling and be a good leader in the church.
Mm.
I went back to camp the next couple years. I've now been to camp as a leader of a group of middle schoolers twice. And I also, my senior year in high school, I led a group of middle school guys at the Wednesday nights that I had stopped going to as a middle schooler.
That's
which was
some godly irony there.
Yeah. Such a like flip of the script.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I didn't like this and I left. And then by the time I was a senior, God was like, you're going back.
Yeah.
And it became like something that I would look forward to every week.
Mm.
And I would just say, like, I've never felt contentment and joy like I did whenever, like I have and like I do whenever I'm walking with God. Mm. Before I started going to church, there was not a lot of joy mm-hmm. in my life, I would say. And ever since I started trying to pursue God, that is, I would say, the biggest change. Is all of a sudden I'm happy with where I'm at and I am enjoying life, honestly. And whenever I realized that, I was like, wow, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. All right, well, thank you so much. We hope to hear from you again. And again, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. So as we reflect on this past episode, I mean, the biggest theme I could see was how important community was. I mean, you read Acts and you're like, how can we do that here? I think our guest today talked a bit about it. I also loved him talking about doubts and struggling with doubts, because I'm not going to lie, I'm in the middle of a lot of doubts right now. And what I'm learning is how to praise and pray through it, man, because I know that God is good, and probably there's just some gaps in my knowledge right now. So again, thank you so much to our guest. We've got some exciting stuff coming. Check our Instagram. We've are doing a promotion on one of our new programs we're attempting to launch. If you read through the program, fill out a survey, you get sorted into a drawing for a $50 Visa gift card. It is our education advocacy program. I'm really excited about it as the youth guy. And I know Noah, our executive, is super excited about it. Also, the merch for pre-order, some of it has come in and it is looking amazing. I always get some because I love it so much. And yeah. And as a matter of fact, our tech guy, which of course we haven't said his name this podcast, but it is Malachi, who was introduced earlier. He's wearing one of the new sweatshirts. So
yeah,
talk about it a bit.
Dude, it's really comfortable. It took a while to come in, but I really like the message that it carries, which is the one I'm wearing right now, which is the maroon one that has like the flesh colored lettering on the back that says Jesus can heal what you're hiding, which is a really big thing to me. Yeah. Like I can really relate to that. And so getting to not only like have that for myself, but to walk around and represent that is a big thing for me. So
I'm a billboard. That's what I want to be showing.
Heck yeah. You know? I mean, and I'm the flyest guy on campus right now wearing this thing.
Yeah, for real.
But you guys should definitely go check it out. It's on the Instagram, and there's a link directly to the place where you can look. You can get it, which is on our website. Y'all should go check it out.
All right, sweet. Well, thanks so much. We've got a couple more episodes coming from season one. We're going to take a bit of a hiatus during the summer just for all of us to evaluate and talk about it. But again, we've got some amazing things coming. God is working through this. Thank you so much for your support.